Tonight's award-shunning episode of Bob's Slack Time Funhouse is the Family Suck Show. Please keep in mind that we're not referring to good subgenius families here, something which could be fast becoming an endangered species, seekers. Oh, one look at the church's home website, subgenius.com/updates/maghelp.html, clued me in on all of the horrifying details.
Program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Rickety ass old bridge sure wasn't made for spike heels.
Whew. Oh man. Whew, smell that raw sewage runoff. And the tide sure is high tonight. Well, at least it gives me a good solid surface to work with. Here, baby. Come to mama.
A hush falls over the crowd as a spectacularly stacked figure makes her way to the mound. This is the event of a lifetime. Displaying the style that took her to the Yakutizma Championships in Dobstown, the unfreaking believable Reverend Susie the Floozy winds up for the pitch and lets it go.
Woo! Howdy ho, Susie!
Ah!
You sure did throw like a girl.
Oh, Jesus, Mr. Hanky.
Yeah.
Damn, you almost gave me one of those Japanime photo epileptic conniptions.
Uh-huh.
I've been wanting to try one of those, too.
Hey, Susie, you smell just like squid.
Hey.
What are you doing out here on the scary old bridge in the middle of the night? You're gonna catch a cold.
I was just out dumping another bucket full of fetuses.
Wow!
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah, some sort of feminine hygiene thing.
Oh, that sounds like jolly fun.
Here, watch me skip this one.
Ooh. Ooh, you sure do throw bad,
hey,
Susie.
It's hard to keep a regulation grip on them water heads. They're kind of gelatinous. Hey, what are you doing out after Christmas?
Oh, I had such a jolly time and made so many friends I decided to stay out all year. Ha ha ha.
Well, that'll be easier than you think, Cream Puff.
You're
only have 6 months and 5 days to it.
Uh-huh.
That fifth day is gonna be a mother.
Oh, so that means it's good because mothers are good.
Mm-hmm. Reality check, turd boy.
Huh?
Mother is an apt description of hellish misery, but father or family would do fine in its place, too. Oh, yeah, the supposedly benign family unit has been the downfall of untold millions of tortured subgenius souls over the millennia.
Oh, now, Susie, it can't be as bad as all that.
Oh, yeah? Hey, look. There are children out there who didn't have the advantage of having loving, abortophiliac mothers like me.
Oh.
Oh, no, their parents didn't have the good sense to practice birth control.
Woo-hoo!
Woo!
Yeah, and they bring up poor little bastards, kicking and screaming, into the stinking razor wire world of hellish domestic torment.
Oh, but Susie, everybody knows that stuff just goes on in trailer parks where the human trash congregates.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think, Mr. Hanky. Let me tell you a jolly little Christmas time story.
Oh, boy, I love those.
Yeah. Dig this. On this very night, or last night, or the night before last, I forget which, but it doesn't matter. On Christmas night, in a big, lonely mansion, an incredibly privileged, insufferably beautiful little girl crept up the lushly carpeted stairs to bed. That morning, she had received almost enough bounty to satisfy her avaricious little whims. Although this coddled, golden child never once had felt the pangs of need. Oh, but she knew that all of this wonderful lucre came not without its price. So the little girl went upstairs and quietly slipped into her most seductive lace teddy from Victoria's Secret Junior Shop and slid between the cool embroidered sheets of her huge frilly four-poster bed to await the nightly ritual. Oh, it had happened 1,000 times before, and she knew deep in her tiny little heart that it would happen 1,000 times more. Oh, but tonight, something went horribly, horribly wrong.
The Dixie Long Folly, number 16, Jean-Philippe. Thank you.
My name is Ramsey, and I'm sponsored tonight by my mom and dad, and I like to thank them with a little hope. Roses are red, violets are blue. I hope you love me because I love you.
Father, too, looks forward to this date with the family. He has had a hard day at the office.
I sit outside and watch the cars go by and listen to the chattering birds and watch a little girl across the street watering the lawn. Then, along comes the good humor man with that Bellsville bit and spoils the whole day. Like, wow. The air is so warm and the sun is so high. I think it's about time the girl sitting on the porch with the hair going down her back was told about love.
She likes to eat cherries.
Come on, boy.
Oh. Oh.
Into a little girl's room one night, her father tiptoed to put out the light. He bent down to kiss her and then tuck her in tight. And he sang to her softly a song of good night.
When this busy, topsy-turvy world begins to get me down and make me blue, guess who makes it all worthwhile when she looks up and with a smile says, "Daddy, I love you." All of a sudden, my world is lit up. When I see you in that getup, your mama's heels and a ribbon in your hair. Cherry lips and big blue eyes, in a dress that's twice your size, you look like a dream standing there. I love the rainbow, and you're my rainbow. You keep my skies, baby blue. I love the rainbow, so stay my rainbow, and I'll make all your dreams come true. Every time I look, you I'm rolling in four-leaf clover, just to know you're mine to have and hold. I know that heaven sent you, and heaven surely meant you to be my little pot of gold.
Oh, Daddy!
Are the end of the rainbow?
my pot of gold. Your daddy's little girl to heaven to hold. A precious gem is what you are. Your mommy's bright and shining star. You're the spirit of Christmas, my star on the tree. You're the Easter Bunny to Mommy and me. You're sugar, you're spice, you're everything nice, and you're Daddy's little girl.
Still, little children, and don't make a sound. There's work to be done when the day rolls around. The Lord will not slumber the whole night through, and He will be watching over you.
Kill the child. That's what that has reference to.
Yeah, kid should be real simple to kill. I'd just come up behind him with a knife and slit his throat real quick like.
You gotta do something with him.
But it does show discipline.
Right on! Right on!
A little girl tossed in her bed that night. She wanted her daddy to tuck her in tight. A wind touched the curtains and sighed as it blew. And a voice seemed to whisper to someone it knew. Beautiful girl, lying there. Ribbons of velvet in your hair. Sleep like an angel, little girl blue. Wherever you
how he looked walking down the street.
is all I love. Little girls, they don't care about the one-way mirror. Oh, they don't care about my cold interior. They don't ask me questions. They don't want to fool me. They don't look for answers. They just want to hold me. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh, the little girls just so little.
That, Mr. Hanky, is the jolly Christmas time story of the dead little rich girl. It's told by Oingo Boingo and a whole parade of pedophiliacs, including Rod McEwen and the all-too-like-minded Chicken Hawk team of Lauren Green and Frank Fontaine, crazy Guggenheim, that lovable drunk. With their mutual imagery of rainbows and pots of gold and little girls to have and hold. And that beautiful sleeping little girl bit was from a 45 by someone named Ed McMahon. Oh, but I don't think it's that Ed McMahon. And there's some bits in there by John Benet herself. Oh, yes, what an unlikely little saint for our church, don't you think? Her bizarre death has somehow elevated her to a rarefied stratum where she's much more than just some tarted-up little bint. Oh, and you gotta admit, death certainly gave her career an undeniable shot in the shorts. Oh, and like a fly preserved in amber, her cloying, precociously studied charm will never, never degenerate into the acne-sprouting, mommy-hating rage of puberty, which certainly would have made her a less-than-saleable commodity. Oh, but nonetheless, her family loved this little ball buster. Oh, I can tell because last week they finally broke down and sprang for a cheap headstone for that tiny little grave. I guess I'd have waited a year to do it, too, if I were afraid that she wasn't exactly going to stay put, if you catch my EC Comics invoking drift. Oh, and by the way, if any of my listening audience is struck with a little guilt after hearing this segment of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, it might be a good idea to pick up the phone and confess everything. I mean, you know what they say about how confession is good for the soul. And if any parents out there want to unburden themselves, I'm sure the Atlanta Police Department could do a far better job of taking the report than those stumble-bum screw-ups in Boulder. If you get my meaning. So, why don't you think about spilling your guts? Take it from Susie the Floozy here. You'll be glad you did. And as for the rest of us who have relatively no blood on our hands, let's just take a look at the toxic family unit, shall we? Enjoy.
Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. We love you. We love you.
Holiday. You know, holidays are just like poles that are sticking out of the calendar. A wire is strung from one to the other, and you walk on it just like a circus lady. And somehow you get from month to month. My son always laughs at the holidays. Smart, he's not. And I tell him, Wiseapple. Holidays must be good, because even your New York Arab friends have holidays.
Mahmoud smiled and said something to Ibrahim.
Do you have to hang balls from a pine tree before you can sing yourself a song?
No chance in this world for a person to go to hell with a mother that'll pray and weep over you. There's no chance in the world. Now, when mothers spend more time cocktail parties?
Part of spending time together as a family is spending time apart as individuals.
Oh, of course.
Listen to me. Mothers spend more time at dance halls and social clubs. Bless God, they do, rearing their children, and they may go to hell. I'm sorry for the children. Oh, a lot of little girls out here, they don't know better. A lot of these little boys have never been taught. I want to tell you, the parents are to blame.
You don't really believe that, do you?
Oh, listen to the children while they play. Ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Daddy hates mommy, mommy hates dad. Last night you should have heard the fight they had. Gave little sister another bad dream.
Honey, what is it?
She woke us all up with a terrible scream.
Good times.
Touché.
Let me talk about your family for a second. How many brothers you got?
Seven.
Seven brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, what a family. You said you were married, didn't you?
Yeah.
How many children do you have?
One.
Only one?
Give me a chance. I've only been married a month.
Her home is a safe, warm, loving, secure place. And that's not what our house is. Our house is a war zone.
See, you hate me.
Oh, Blanche, darling, I don't hate you.
I saw you with that bunch of no-good friends of yours making fun of the ceremony.
Oh.
You and your jokes about matrimony. You're a fine one to talk about matrimony. You don't even know the meaning of the word.
It's not a word, it's a sentence.
I was laying in bed a week ago, and I snapped after an argument where he sat my four-year-old on his lap and said, your mother was a whore when I met her. She's nothing but a whore, and she'll never be anything but a whore. Saying this to my four-year-old and me lying in bed and listening to this, I snapped.
Oh, she's not a woman. She's the Terminator.
Snap! I looked at you tonight, and you weren't there. Bonnie snapped, and I'm going to howl it out. And I'm not going to give a damn what I do, and I'm going to make the biggest goddamn explosion you've ever heard.
You try, and I'll beat you at your own game.
Is that a threat, George, huh?
That's a threat, Martha.
You're going to get it, baby.
Be careful, Martha. I'll rip you to pieces.
You are not man enough. You haven't the guts.
She keep playing that.
I have to practice it for the party tonight, Daddy.
Better hurry and shave. The families will be here soon.
Families? I don't want the families over here.
Heroin.
have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's wrong?
Wrong everything, Troy. You call this a happy family. Why do we have to have all these kids?
When at first, aware of masculinity, I began to finger feminine curls. I became the toast of my vicinity, for I always had a multitude of girls. But now that a married man at last am I, how aware of my dear departed past am I? Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where is it gone? Gone with the wine. A married game may all be well, but raising an heir could never compare with raising a pentapel. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that late I?
Are you out of your mind, Blanche? It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning.
Why don't you say you're sorry you married me?
Because I'm not sorry.
You don't act like you love me.
I act.
Kiss me goodnight.
I'll kiss you goodnight in the morning.
Why can't you kiss me now?
I'm not facing that way.
See, you hate me.
Oh, Blanche, darling, I don't hate you. I'm just sleepy. Please put out the lights.
Did you buy me an anniversary present, John?
Hmm.
Where is it? Where's my anniversary present, John?
Oh, you won't like it.
I know I won't, but I'd like to see it. Hope you didn't spend a lot of money.
I didn't spend a lot of money.
Why not?
Because I didn't have a lot of money. Just a little old beach bathrobe. It cost $8.
$8? Married 8 years and you spent only $8?
Now listen, Blanche.
$1 a year for washing your shirts, cooking your meals, darning your socks, raising your children?
We haven't got any children.
Well, what do you want for $1 a year?
What's the matter with you, Blanche? You've done something wrong. I can recognize the signs.
Nothing.
What have you done? Oh, now don't start that again.
No, I have a very special reason. Do you love me?
Yes, Blanche, I love you.
How much do you love me?
How much do you need?
I don't need anything. Sit up, John.
I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You go on and practice. What's the matter with everybody? Janie, go on. I told you to practice. Now go on, play.
Oh, Daddy.
George, why must you torture the children?
We taught our children to fear the rod before they were a year of age and to cry softly. And she said we never gave our children anything to cry for. This is the authority of God in the home. And this is the exact opposite of what these modern crackpot psychologists are telling you about how to raise children. Quietness. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. As unto the Lord, Ephesians 5 told us a little while ago. Wives, submit. Now, I know that many times that's hard for a lady to do, but that's what the Bible commands. And this is God's plan. This is God's chain of command. From God, to the husband, to the wife, to the children. That's God's plan. And it always works if we'll be obedient and if we're working. But wait a minute, I'm not through.
No!
Mother, too, changes from her daytime clothes. The women of this family seem to feel that they owe it to the men of the family to look relaxed, rested, and attractive at dinner time. Tell Mother how good the food is. Maybe Sis rates a compliment, too. It makes them want to continue pleasing you.
His home probably will become a shambles. No man should ever be ruled by anger, by sex, by television, by money, or by sports. I said he should not be ruled by these things. These things may be all right in their place, and some of them are quite important, but they're never the rulers, you see. And no woman should be ruled by these things. Avoid a flirtation. Discipline yourself about this. Stay desperately in love with your own husband and your own wife, and you won't get off on these soap opera tangles, you see. But when I was a pastor, I've seen a woman just walk out of homes and leave a husband, a devoted husband, and precious little children, and go out and run off with some godless old reprobate. And I've seen men walk out of a lovely home and leave a lovely, sweet, devoted wife and precious children and go out with some godless old floozy to live in sin.
If you call it living.
I got a woman across the street. She's good to me. Oh, yeah. She gives me money when I'm in need. And then she's kind of friend indeed. I got a woman across the street.
girl. I have a woman right here in the house. She's good for me. Yes, she is. I have a woman right here in the house. She's good for me. Matter of fact, she's the best. She gives me money when I'm in need. She is the best friend I need. She is the woman right here in the apartment. She's good to me. Woo! Yes, she is.
This little boy, and why would you like to strike it rich?
For a new bed.
For a new bed? And why would you like to have a new bed?
Because my daddy is in the army in Korea.
Uh-huh.
And on weekends, my Uncle Charlie makes me sleep in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
Anyway, he's not really my Uncle Charlie.
Oh, no.
Is he of the family?
No.
Oh. Is he of the sacred society?
Oh.
Then what is he?
Evil.
He's part of the dead.
The Death of the Family is the name of a book recently off the presses. U.S. News and World Report, in an article some time ago, had as its glaring headline, boxcar headline on the front cover, The American Family, Can It Survive Today's Shocks? I was in a Family Life conference in New Jersey, just across the river from Philadelphia some time ago. And at that time, the Philadelphia papers were full of a series of articles on the American home. And these home counselors and psychiatrists who were being interviewed stated that at the present rate of the breakup of the American home, by 1995, there will be no more families in America. In other words, they predict that everybody will just be living like animals, and there'll be no such thing as the home.
Robert, you're evil. I'm part of the family, Robert. I'm sorry. The family, Robert. You don't understand. Oh, Robert.
She had a bad childhood while she was very young, so don't judge her. Schizophrenic mother who worked in the gutter, would have sold herself to the devil gladly. What a sad environment, a forbidden tenement. And when they couldn't pay the rent, it's cause her father was out getting sicker. Hot stones been cast in blood, thicker than water. And the sins of a family fall on the daughter. All the sins of a family fall on the daughter. At the age of 16, she had been around more than any girl of her 30. And the high accuser condemned her new. She's a product of heredity. It's a fictitious fact, when you fall on your back, you can backtrack failure with inspection, without exception. All the sins of a family fall on the daughter. All the sins of a family fall on the daughter. Than water, and the sins of a family fall on the daughter. All the sins of a family fall on the daughter.
been struggling. Their income circle is limited. They put their wife to work. They put their kid to work. They put their dog to work, their cat to work, their parakeet to work. And they're struggling through all the taxation and inflation. And now they're down to their dream house, you know, two rooms and a backyard that butts up to someone else's. And they can barely make that work.
We saw a sign, welcome Satan place, when we moved to town that day.
Oh man, this ain't gonna be good.
And rows of little white homes that looked like castles all along the way. But after living there a while, we found it wasn't what we thought at all. They had a private little scandal going on behind each castle wall. There was a town council meeting on the day the story came to pass. Someone said, Miss Brown, we think your little girl is living way too fast. She's been dating old boys and staying out much later than she should. And there's been quite a lot of talk about it going round the neighborhood. Well, Mrs. Brown said, since you brought it up, I think I'll tell you what I saw. The day your daughter Ellie and the judge's son went swimming in the raw. Is that supposed to be a part of what you call learning social grace? 'Cause if it is, I think your people are in trouble here in Satan Place. I heard your neighbor's daughter Betty spent the summer in another town. They say she gained a lot of weight before she left, but now she's trim back down. And now I wonder why the banker's son won't even look her in the face. We used to see them both together everywhere they went in Satan Place. The mayor's daughter got another speeding ticket just last week. They didn't charge drunk driving even though she couldn't hardly speak. I hear she brags about the way her daddy gets free liquor by the case. From all his bootlegging friends that make a killing here in Satan Place. When Mrs. Brown had finished talking, no one dared to make a single sound. Until the chairman of the meeting wrapped his gavel and looked around. And as his eyes swept across the room at guilty looks on every face, he said, that wraps up this meeting of the Council of Satan Place. He said, that wraps up this meeting of the Council of Satan Place.
Now, let's have no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up.
Trading
Oh, dear seekers. Looks like Mr. Hankey had to run out to the can here, so I guess I'll have to go it alone. Good thing, too, because he was about to tell everyone about that time I was totally loaded and mistook him for a tube of lipstick. It's pretty ugly and tasteless. Man, so is the story. Let me get out a few credits before we're all clogged up here. We've been flogged with Mae Quetzal, the voice of Betty Boop from her non-comedy LP, Mrs. Portnoy's Retort. Then Donna Meachie and, I don't know, some skirt and the Bickersons. Jack Reno, It's a Wonderful Life. No, oh, I hate that movie. The 1958 Vassar College, I think it was their junior class, doing some sort of hideous spectacle with My Man's a Bum. Oh, two selections from Kiss Me, Kate. I can never resist playing Where Is the Life That Late I Led by the bombastic Howard Keel. And then there was I Hate Men by Ann Jeffries. Then the classic training film, A Date with a Family. And then, speaking of families, we had Family Man and poster guy for fatherhood, Bill Cosby, with I Got a Woman. I got a woman across the street, down the hall. Good grief, Bill. I bet he's got a lot more women than we know about. Oh, and then there are some ravings from Keep the Honey in the Honeymoon by Reverend Hugh Pyle. Oh, what a good name. Some bloopers, a bit from Patch the Pirate. Some bits from The Omega Man, which is my perfect commentary on the nature of the family unit as a creepy, insidious evil. Although I do admit I'm real hot in the tubes for Anthony Zerbe in that one. Can you tell I'm a subgenius girl with taste in men like that? Oh, then on the crack we heard Sins of a Family by the Secret Agent Man Rider, the writer of the song, P.F. Sloan, a worn-out retread of Harper Valley PTA called Satan Place by Jeannie C. Riley, of course. And then we had the peppy and fun Let's Make a Deal with the Pink Lincolns.
Ooh, touché.
Susie, 6 years old, I said, Susie, what's your happy thought today? She said,
I'm pregnant.
Oh, man. I said, Susie, what would make you say a thing like that?
She said, well, I was eating breakfast this morning, and Mommy came down and said to Daddy, honey, I think I'm pregnant. He said, now there's a happy thought.
I used to have a sister until just recently. My sister, she was oh so mean to me. She'd wake up every morning and talk on the telephone. She'd never, ever, ever leave me alone. Oh, well, first she'd pull my hair and then stick thumbtacks in my shoes. And sometimes she would even try to pull my pants off too.
Touché.
Take vacations from time control and productivity. Now, you know what a type A vacation is like, right?
It's a bad joke.
It's funny because it's true.
You get up in the morning, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you yell at the kids to get in the car. By the time everybody gets in the car, nobody wants to go on your vacation.
Okay, let's make a pact. This is going to be the best vacation ever. We all agree to disband and join another band.
Spend the first 3 hours driving in stony silence. Nobody's talking to anybody because nobody wants to be there. You drive 36 hours, white-knuckled, non-stop to get where you're going. You get there just in time. You look around. You spend 2 weeks dragging the kids around, looking up, looking down, looking up, looking down. The kids are going, ah! You say, shut up. You'll be glad you were here when you grow up.
You know.
How about now? Can I be glad I'm here now? Shut up.
Every time we've ever gone on vacation, I end up being horribly embarrassed.
We end up in a big fight and we come home more miserable than when we left.
Shut up. We paid good money to get here and we're going to do what you're supposed to do here.
Wait a minute.
If we wanted to relax and have fun, we could have stayed home.
Touché.
You're a coach and a teacher, a cook and a preacher, and the layer down of laws. Now one minute you're the villain, and the next you're Santa Claus. Now they ask why to everything, and you wisely say because.
And you just cross your fingers and you knock on wood when you take on a thing called parenthood.
Can we go, Dad? Can we, can we, can we?
Can we?
No, 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 no. Ask your mother.
Can we, can we, can we?
Can we, 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 can we?
I have nothing to say to you.
Nobody ruins my family vacation but me! And maybe the boy!
My brother threw up on my stuffed toy bunny. You better not laugh, cause it really isn't funny. It was lying in my bed while I was sound asleep. But it could have been worse. Oh, it could have been me. So Bunny now sits on my shelf at home, next to the smelly toy telephone and the dirty old bear with the stains and the spots, 'cause my little brother throws up a lot.
Here's to all you parents raising kids while the kids are raising Cain. As the noise is getting louder, you go quietly insane. Though your nights are often sleepless and your days are never through, it's the most important job that anyone can do.
My son won't have bowels, not him. He was toilet trained according to the symptom of Mrs. Minsky. The Minsky system, you should know, is democratic, and also it works. You take that little mensch 3 times a day, and you sit him on the potty, and you squeeze. And squeeze. And all the time, he's squeezing, you're squeezing. And you sing to him,
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo, he loves me and I love you. Therefore, my Casey, he loves you, even your man him. He's a very disturbed little boy.
No offense, Homer, but your half-assed underparenting was a lot more fun than your half-assed overparenting.
But I'm using my whole ass.
Dad, it's just that too much of your love can really be scary.
Someday you'll thank me for all this scary love.
Agreed.
My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have an auntie. Her name is Josephine. Hi, Auntie Josephine. Hi. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a mother. Her name is Mother. Hi, Mother. Hi. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a sister. Her name is Joyce. Hi, Joyce. Hi, Joyce. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have a uncle. His name is Sonny. Hi, Uncle Sonny. Hi, Uncle Sonny. Hi, Larry. Shut up, would you? Hi, how's it, Becky? My name is Larry. My name is Larry. Just like the hoodoo on See Me, Feel Me, Touch Me, Heal Me. My name is Larry. Listen, Pete Townsend. Listen. My name is Larry.
One little criticism that I could do without is that I paid too much attention to my son. The truth of the matter is, I've always lived for my husband first and my son second, just like a good Jewish wife. But when a boy is between the years 1 and 40, he needs special attention.
My name is Larry. I have a grandfather. His name is Grandpa. Hi, Grandpa. Remember, Grandpa, when I used to go over to the house and you wouldn't let me go into the kitchen with the rest of the family? Remember that, Grandpa? Now, listen, Larry, you be a nice boy and stay away from us. When we want you to come over, I'll get a hold of your mother and I'll call her up and you can come over, okay? My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have an uncle. His name is Bob. Hi, Bob. Bob, I like you, Bob. And you're an artist, and I like you a lot. You're a nice boy. My name is Larry. My name is Larry. I have an auntie. Her name is Becky. Hi, Auntie Becky.
Hi, Larry.
My name is Larry. My name is Larry.
With your own family, you can relax. Be yourself. Just be sure it's your best self.
I know of young people who are crying for guidelines. They may not know it, and they may not say it, but they wish they had mothers and daddies who cared enough for them to know where they were at night and when they were coming in and who they were going to be with. Chase them by sun while there's hope. Too many people tie up the dog at night and let the children run loose. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:4. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Discipline is so important. And our kids shouldn't grow up to be little rebels and rioters and hippies and renegades. It's very possible to see to it that our children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. By the way, the Bible says you fathers bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
My mommy drives a dump truck. My daddy washes clothes, mops the floors, cleans the doors, the cabinets, and my nose. Daddy stays at home with me. He changes diapers too. You might think that it's funny, but they do what they want to. Mommy holds the door for Dad and always drives the car. Some say they are funny, but I don't think they are. Daddy does the dishes and Mommy wears a tie. Mommy goes to work each day and Dad makes apple pie. My mommy drives a dump truck. My daddy washes clothes, mops the floors, cleans the doors, the cabinets, and my nose. Daddy stays at home with me. He changes diapers too. You might think that it's funny, but they do what they want to. Mommy reads the paper while Daddy sews my clothes. He brings her coffee late at night, smells pretty as a rose. But Mommy has an ulcer, and I know this might sound weird, but she didn't yell at me as much before she grew her beard. My mommy drives a dump truck, my daddy washes clothes, mops the floors and cleans the doors, the cabinets, and my nose. Daddy stays at home with me, he changes diapers too. You might think that it's funny, but they do what they want to.
These boys greet their dad as though they are genuinely glad to see him, as though they had really missed being away from him during the day and are anxious to talk to him. This is the time for pleasant discussion in a thoroughly relaxed mood. They don't pick this time of the day to spring unpleasant surprises on Dad.
This time, get a DVD.
This is a DVD.
Dad knows when his son needs a haircut. He knows when his daughter's clothing is immodest. He knows.
Oh, sweet mother of pearl.
I don't like the way you touch my baby. If you're smart, you'll turn him loose. Unless you crave danger or you're crazy. 'Cause this gun don't care who it shoots. You better take your hands off my baby, or they're gonna bury you in your boots. Heed what I say, 'cause I ain't fooling. And this gun don't care who it shoots. This old gun of mine has no conscience, shows no favors
truce. So it's all up to you now, pay attention, 'cause this gun don't care who it shoots.
Obey the plain, simple principles of the Word of God, there's no reason why any home cannot be a happy home. I certainly do not claim to be an authority, but I've been happily married to the same girl for a long time now. We raised three wonderful children who came up through the public schools. Our Christian school didn't quite reach them. They came up through the public schools and kept their testimony bright. They never went to a theater. They never went to a dance. They never went to a prom. They never smoked or drank or dressed immodestly or indecently. We had to tan their hides many times. We had to discipline them. And we had blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. But thank God they're all serving the Lord today. And they're raising happy Christian families also.
Please kill me.
The noise that disturbs and destroys the home is the noise of the rock beat. And I've known families who live to see their children destroyed morally because they allowed them to listen to rock music in the home and to have rock records. Or the television set blaring full blast all the time. If you've half a mind to watch TV, that's enough.
It looks to me like the devil owns television.
Right on!
No kid ought to be without swine and mice and witches and goblins, without fairy godmothers and poisoned apples, and without the troll under the bridge, and without all of the TV that shows chainsaw murders, and without Beamus and Butthead.
Oh my God!
You think I'm using some kind of slang? Hey, that is one of the most obnoxious, stupid pieces of absolute trash on television. I canceled out the whole stupid channel because I just got tired of going around seeing these people with chainsaws cutting their fingers off and so on and going, that's cool.
Christ.
And kids watch it and they think it's funny. And it is satanic. It isn't funny. It's satanic.
How do we know that?
It is perverting your mind. It's taking something good and tender and wholesome in you that ought to be developed, and it is rubbing calluses on it. It's making ugly scar tissue where good whole tissue ought to grow.
You disgust even me!
You know, you can get so busy bringing home the bacon that you forget your sugar. And you don't want to do that. You're getting too busy then. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I don't believe it will be difficult for me to keep my wife in love with me as long as I love her so much that I'm willing to be crucified for her at the drop of a hat. And that's what that verse says.
Ow! Ow! This club better be worth it. Ow!
All right. It's Lisa's turn.
Touché.
If it became fashionable for women to wear horns, there wouldn't be a safe cow in the country.
A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt.
What? So then comes, in Satan's world, puberty. And all the pressures that have come of all those magazines and TV, and the drugs and the gangs and peer pressure, and then more movies and more TV and heavy metal and magazines, and then the free condoms.
How do we know that?
Oh, Seymour there? Last name, Butch.
He was at the two bar. He'd be an angry man. He want to give him Jesus. I want to shake his hand.
Hey, I just got my check. Amanda Huggins. Hey, I'm looking for Amanda Huggins. Why can't I find Amanda Huggins?
Maybe your standards are too high.
Get out of that pussy. If I ever find out who you are, I'm gonna shove a sausage down your throat and stick starving dogs in your butt. Listen to me, you. When I catch you, I'm gonna pull out your eyes and shove them down your pants. You can watch me kick the crap out of you, okay? Then I'm gonna use your tongue to paint my boat.
Son of a bitch, you're a son of a bitch. You dirty rotten redneck, come on.
up face to face and I meet you tomorrow.
Hey.
I'll cut your belly open and give you a medicine.
Hey.
Hello?
Big mistake, pal.
And my toes, don't you mutter up. I'm gone.
Listen, you little scum sucking puck bucket. When I get my hands on you, I'm gonna pull out your eyeballs when I want to.
Why, you little... How can you look me in the eye and lie like that?
We used a belt on him. We applied this Board of Education to the seat of learning. And I was slipping some of them right on up through high school. And I guess I'd have whipped them through college, but I sent them off to Tennessee Temple and let Dr. Robertson take over after they got college age. And you know, every one of our three children wrote us love letters after they got off to college. And thanked us for having been strict. They said, Daddy, Mother, we know now why you had a deadline for us. We understand now why you were pretty tough when we were growing up. And we thought you were, but we appreciate it. And we almost have to beat him off with a stick when we go home to this day.
It's funny because it's true.
Great.
As houses out in California will be sliding down the mountain soon into the areas that have just been burned when the floods come, even so many homes are sliding down the toboggan slide to destruction in this country.
Fasten your seatbelts, kids.
So kids, give your folks a break, because you're driving us crazy. We sit here all night and take pills out, swallowing pills so we'll count out, counting the hours, you're count out, you and your frug and your slob. Television. Then you call us up and say you've had a slight collision. There goes the car. Beside that, you've been arrested. So we gotta get up and we gotta get dressed and go downtown. Borrow a car and go downtown. That's where you are, you famous downtown. Wait till I get you kids home. There'll be no more frugging, no swimming, no jerk, no mashed potato, no slop. Now take some else. You're going to stay home tomorrow night. And your mother and I are going downtown. And we're going to dance the tango and the waltz and the foxtrot. And we're going to do the buddy hug and the nice dance.
But Satan says we've only just begun. Then the free condoms, and then all of the sexually active little girls and boys in the seventh grade. And finally, by that time, if you're not only pregnant and had one abortion, maybe marriage.
Satan's number one target is the home. The home is a nation's strength or ruin. The home is the citadel of life for the adult, a man's castle, and the child's haven. Home is the woman's career and her life.
Sing!
The family's home.
We have cleansed the world.
We have cleansed the world.
Outside the family, there is nothing at all.
Outside the family, there is nothing at all.
Look at all the carnage.
Oh,
I guess
wow.
It's all over but the Shiite, huh, Mr. Hankey?
Ooh, what a mess! What a jolly lot of fun we've had with it those nights, Susie!
Yeah, we sure have. We heard a little Tony O'K, the Stress, Success, and Type A Personalities tape, Up With People, and then there were some really subversive children's songs from a truly war performer who goes around the schools and jacks the little buggers up with weird ideas. Barry Lewis Polisar with "My Brother Threw Up on My Stuffed Toy Bunny," "My Sister Is Mean," and "My Mommy Drives a Dump Truck." And then we had a tiny sliver of The Simpsons, a little Larry Wildman Fisher, Wanda Jackson with "This Gun Don't Care," a little Tube Bar, and some more Omega Man. Oh, the instrumental savories we heard were by Ronnie Aldrich, Steroid Maximus, 101 Strings, Hugo Winderhalter, Johnny Puleo and his harmonica gang, Stanley Paul, and David Rose.
That special treatment about the tube bar couldn't have been done without Rick Agnew's wonderful Ode to Red, which I changed around a little bit to make the Ode to Mo.
Whatever.
And then it'll be good night from me and Mr. Hanky Seekers.
Be sure to eat that fiber, kiddies.
He ought to know.
Good night, Seekers. And there you have it, Seekers. The ugly myriad horrors of the contemporary American family. Oh, but if I want to make my blood boil over what's being done to the contemporary subgenius family, all I have to do is take a little internet detour to the church's home website, subgenius.com/updates/maghelp.html for all of the grisly details for what could very well happen to us. And now, more of WREK Atlanta's excellent programming. Good night, Seekers.